baby, you know what time it is. Time to get that party started all up in your ear holes. Here we go. When you had a bad day and you want those bad vibes to go away,
when every day life gets harder, Derek
Carter,
you need the party starter.
It's the Pocket Party Podcast
with Duron.
Pocket Party Podcast
in your ear holes.
Pocket Party Podcast
in your ear holes.
Pocket Party Podcast. Or if you're dang into booster, then you need to talk to Red Rooster. Mr. Carter about to take you to school. Here we go. Don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt yourself.
Is that a party in your pocket?
Calling Mike Black.
Hello.
Hey, it's Mike Black. How are you, buddy? We are recording. We are live.
Oh, great. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Man, it's so funny. Like, if you don't do something with technology in for like 2 weeks, you forget how to. It's like, you know, you lose it. If you use it, you lose it. Yeah. If you don't use it, you lose
yes.
it. Even that phrase I haven't said in 2 weeks. So
so you lost it.
Yeah. You know that phrase that I forgot? But yeah, it's so funny. Like, doing a podcast over the phone, I'm like, okay, how do I do this again? And I'm like setting up the wrong, yeah, anyways, long story short, we're here, we're live, let's do it.
Yeah. Let's not dwell on it.
Let's not dwell yeah. on it. Yeah, let's start out a podcast saying all the bad things that happened behind the scenes that people could give two rips about. So, yeah.
Is yeah there, they're like, I had to go to work all day.
Exactly, yeah, I know. I haven't gotten around to doing a podcast in 2 weeks, and I mean, I know it ain't working in the coal mine, but it sure is close. Welcome to my
world. I think I slept most of the day preparing for this podcast, so yeah. I can't really.
He's well rested and he's ready to
complain. You know,
I have friends that have these strange sleep schedules. I guess it's just the comedy sleep schedule, but I'm starting to get up, you know, a little earlier lately, although today was an exception. But
yeah, now that people are like back to doing a lot of stuff and we're going back to business hours and everything, it's harder to have that kind of schedule. But like during the pandemic, nobody knew what time it was or what day it was or anything like that, you know.
Totally.
So
I was
it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I was on the farm one time, and I'm talking to a buddy, and he goes, hey, I got to hop off, man. I got to do a Zoom show. And I'm like, all right, man, I'll talk to you later. And then and then I get this text message, and the text said, you're up next. And I'm like, oh, crap, I'm on a Zoom show. And it turned out we were on the same Zoom show. And I'm out in the middle of a cornfield, and I'm trying to, like, get reception, and they can barely see me, and I'm all sweaty, and I had a headband on. I had my little walking cane. I look like a nut. And luckily that he stepped in and goes, hey, I'll do 15 until you can get back. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, that's how I forgot about my, Zoom show.
So you thought you were on a like conspiracy theory show instead?
Exactly. I was like, I had no clue that I was on a show. I mean, I knew, but I forgot. I 100% forgot. It was like, because I think those Zoom shows, you don't really think of them as real, like, quote, real shows.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're just not. I mean, they're fun and everything, but nobody, I don't know of anyone who's making money doing them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I did it. She paid me, and she paid me. Here's the great thing, Mike. I got paid the day before, so they Venmo'd me the money the day before.
Yeah.
So I already had the money, so I was like, oh, cool, this is easy. And then totally spaced out on it the next day, which is like
a day, it was one day before, and you had already forgotten about it.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, cool, I knew I had it coming up, but then for some reason it was around 5 o'clock, and I was like, I want to go for a walk. And then, dude, like, no, you should be walking to your room and get your show together. That's what I should have done.
Yeah, you know how that read to them. They were like, we paid him, right?
Yeah,
he just... he went on a walk.
I know. This is why we don't pay the comics before the show. Yeah. I know. It's like, yeah, man.
That's exactly. I don't know if you ever played, I probably shouldn't mention their name, but there's a club in Vegas that doesn't pay you till like 2 weeks later.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And it was because they'd had enough trouble with comics gambling all their money away the second they got it. And they would gamble. They would gamble away their airfare and stuff. So they were like they couldn't get home. So now we pay everyone 2 weeks later.
It was just a bottleneck of comics. Like, hey, what are you doing here? Oh, I've been here since February.
Get out of my room.
Exactly. It just there's like 30 comics. Just, is it a convention? Is it a what's going on? Festival? Nah, we just gambled away our travel money.
I noticed people leave free food by their doors. I wouldn't eat that. That's.
Yeah, my friend does that. He told me, I don't know if he's a joke or not, but he's from New York, mm-hmm. and I think he calls it a schnora or something, some kind of phrase, a schnura.
And a schnura.
He said, you know, you're a real white trash schnura, which is a Yiddish term, but then he's like, I'm a white trash schnura from Jersey when I can, or wherever he's from, Long Island, when I can walk through a hotel late at night and lift those tins and take the food. And he said that every show people do scream at that, like, yeah, me too. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I've never done that. Like, I've never.
I'm not paying $8.50 for this.
Yeah. Although it's, I did hear that.
I will say I've never taken food. However, I have seen the little bottles of like Tabasco or ketchup. Yeah. If the plastic isn't cracked on them, I'm keeping those.
Because you
always have to ask. They always bring your food and it's hot and ready and everything. And they don't bring you any of that shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, could you please go back and get blah, blah, blah. And they hate it. You hate it. By the time they come back, the meal is totally cold. So yeah, anytime I see that stuff, I just, ooh. Or if the lady, the cleaning lady has her card out, I'll give it a look over to see if there's anything on it that I want.
Yeah, and, the last hotel I was at a couple days ago, they had the cart. It was fully stocked, but I was on my way out and I like to leave the hotel. And I thought,
that's the time.
I know. I was like,
that's the time to do it. It's the perfect crime.
I was like, man, is there anything I need? Like they said, they had like a whole bottle full of like writing pens, like Bic pens. But I was like, I really don't want a pen from the Quality Inn in Tulare or whatever. So
you don't want a pen as a comedian? You don't want a pen?
Well,
before smartphones, you know, every comedian was always desperate for pens.
Oh, I know. Well, I you see my act. I don't write. No, I'm just kidding.
Obviously.
I'm like, if it would have been a can full of flashlights, I tell you, hey.
What's up, guys? How you like the show so far? Pretty good, right? Kind of weird that I'm out here in the country with the chair next to me, but anyways, if you like this show and you want to help out, go to Cameo. I do birthday shout outs, anniversary shout outs, or if you just want to do a donation, go to DarrenCarter.com, PayPal, or Venmo at Darren Carter Comic. Now let's get back to the show.
I tell you though, if they'd had a whole bunch of like hand towels, now we're talking.
We're talking. Yeah, I like our lotion. No, don't go there.
I don't ever want to pay for hand towels in my life. You shouldn't have to pay for hand towels.
I mean, Gilbert Gottfried does that, right? Like there was if you saw the documentary,
he
collects like travel size shampoos and soaps and conditioner, and he's got to just. I mean, the guy's a multimillionaire, I assume, and
he
can't break that habit of hotel. I will take hotel notepads. I prefer the notepads. The pens, I guess the pens are okay sometimes, but I have enough pens. And I mean,
so wait a minute. You have a shitload of notepads in your place and no pens to write it.
No, I have pens. In fact, I'm staring at three of them right now. If you guys can hear this, listen closely to this pen.
That is a pen.
That's right. I've got black ink, blue ink, the whole thing.
We just lost eight listeners.
Like, my ears. But no, I have a. Is there a certain color of pen that you prefer to write jokes in?
Black.
Is it because then your last name? Does it have anything to do with that?
No, it's traditional ink color.
For legal documents, for sure, right? I tried signing a legal document with a blue pen and they wouldn't have it. They said, no, it has to be.
If you do it in red, you look like a lunatic. It doesn't matter what you're writing.
Yeah.
If you're handwriting things in red and scratching them out in red,
I know.
You look like a sociopath. There's no way around. And blue is like for kids.
I saw blue. It's
blue to me, when I see like a comedian writing something in blue, I go, this guy's not serious about what he's doing.
He's not serious about his craft,
about his life.
About his life.
Such a non-committal color to go with.
Wow, that's interesting. Because I go back and forth with black and blue, but I got to be honest, I'm looking at my notes, and most of them are written with black ink. I guess I was really serious about these episodes and my exercise regiment. I almost said regime.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, writing it in blue is just so you're wasting everyone's time.
There's a, I know, I was going to Google it, but I'm not. Should I Google this or not? Because it was something about red ink.
Google what? Yeah,
I'm gonna
go
Google.
Ahead.
I'm gonna Google it. If you've got the patience, okay. Red ink.
I have nothing but patience.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. What does the color red symbolize in Asian culture? Because I read something one year. It said, "And using red ink as a sign, something is a cultural taboo. Since in some countries, especially Korea, red ink indicates death." Yeah, like you're not supposed to. And it's funny. I told that to Esther Koo, and she just started laughing because she didn't know about that. And she's she's American, but she's Korean American, right. And she's like, "Oh my God, I just signed all my Christmas cards with red ink because I thought it looked festive and Christmassy." And but apparently, you're not supposed to write someone's name in red ink because it's like a sign of, you know.
Oh God! All her relatives are just like, "What is she doing?"
They're like so pissed off at her. Like, "What did I do?"
Esther wished us death on Christmas.
Do you remember that when you were a kid, they had like that one pen that would have like the four different colors of ink?
It never worked.
I know it never worked. Yeah. It never worked.
Either the ink on the color that you wanted was dry, or the stupid mechanism it had to push that pen down was broken.
Yeah.
It never worked. And there was always some kid that wanted to steal it and turn it into, remember how you could make
blow darts and stuff? No.
Pens into blow darts.
Oh, wow.
He would always try and MacGyver that shit and just screw it up. And it was like, that pen cost $1.50 compared to a normal pen. Back then, that was a lot of money, kids listening. That $1.50 was a big deal.
$1.50. I was thinking, going down memory lane, I was, for some reason, I came across the idea of a payphone, and I just had these payphone memories. I remember so many times walking home from elementary school, probably even beyond that, but putting our fingers in the coin slot return, and it was like pay dirt when you'd actually get like a bunch of coins. Like, yes! Like,
yeah.
But then I Googled the amount of payphones, and in the 70s, and I was probably only getting nickels and dimes, but in my mind, it was like quarters. I don't know why, but it wasn't.
Well,
it couldn't have been.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing that they took, I think. Oh. But they, like, for a quarter, you got 3 minutes on a payphone.
Wow.
And that's just ridiculous now. I'd be pissed if I only got 3 minutes for a quarter.
Oh yeah, or you do a long distance call and you're just like dropping the coins in, and then it would be like doo doo doo, please deposit, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, kids don't know that back then, when your time was up, the operator would interrupt with a message that please deposit 25 cents, and you just had to deal with that. And if you didn't have it, you just didn't get to finish whatever you were talking about.
I know. I remember doing the road, I used to bring a bag of quarters, and then eventually I got like the calling card, and I would do that, but it's like, it was lonely, man. It was like you were kind of like a Christopher Columbus of sorts, when you'd be like, all right, bye everyone, I'm going to go on this big adventure, and you'd just be gone, you know, like, discovered.
Phone cards were even worse, you know, you'd have to type in a whole code.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And it would be really bad, especially now, like, as I've gotten older, it's like harder to see small print.
Yeah, and you'd get them at gas stations. They like places that sold phone cards were basically the places that ex-cons were hanging out because they weren't allowed to have phones for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So they this truck stop's gonna have a whole bunch of phone cards at it, you know.
Yeah, like burner. Now they have like burner phones, like their main phone and the burner phone. Back then, burner. This is my burner phone card.
Yeah, and it was like you didn't want to dare make a call at the place where you got your phone card, because there were a bunch of dudes milling around that knew what that was, and they're like, he's probably still got 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, punk, give me that phone card. Yeah.
I can just stab him and call mom.
Yeah, man, pay phones, phone cards. I remember, oh gosh, it must have been around 10 years ago, my cell phone died. Something happened, it broke, or I didn't. For whatever reason, I wasn't able to use my cell phone, and my wife was on her way to LAX to pick me up from the airport. And I land, and I'm like, oh man, my phone won't work. How can I tell her where I'm at? And I'm looking for it. I could not find a single payphone in the terminal, not one payphone. There was a bank of payphones that had been ripped off and just, you know, like they were no longer there. You could tell it used to be a payphone, but they had just tore them off.
Yeah, because no one was using them. And the thing is now all of those have been replaced with charger stations.
Oh, interesting. I got
to
pay
attention. You know, like what used to be, they used to have like big booths, you know, with just row after row at any airport of payphones. And then they had also the white courtesy phone.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds more racist than it is. Anyone was allowed to use the white courtesy phone.
The white privilege, the white privilege phone. The
white privilege phone. But there used to be announcements on the PA that would go, Darren Carter, you have a call coming in. Please go to the nearest white courtesy phone. And whenever someone got that call, everyone looked at them like they were just the most important man in the world. They're like, ooh. He's got a call on the white courtesy phone.
That's
what
hilarious.
A fancy man.
I remember, we got married. So my wife and I, we've been married for 23 years. I'll be 24 this August 25th, ladies and gentlemen. And we got married in Las Vegas. And I remember back then I didn't have a cell phone in 1997. And I remember leaving the chapel at the casino. This is where we got married, chapel and a casino. And I remember seeing the bank of payphones, and I rushed over there and I immediately called my grandfather, and I wanted to tell him the good news. Like, I just got married. Here is a true story. I remember I called the number and he goes, hello. And I go, Grandpa, it's me. I just got married. I just got married. And he goes, who is this?
Yeah.
I go, it's me, Darren. Yeah. And he goes, oh, hey. And we start talking, but it was hilarious. Who is this? I was like,
who is this? How did you get the number?
Exactly. I got married. Maybe I
that's my favorite old people thing. How did you get this number?
Yeah, Grandpa, it's me, Darren Carter. It was hilarious. I just remember that. Yeah. Do you have any payphone memories?
So let me get this straight. You got married in Las Vegas and you didn't invite me. Thanks for the call.
Click. Yeah. Grandpa, I just saved a ton of money by getting married at a casino and using a payphone.
Yeah, I'd be mad if anyone did anything in Vegas and didn't invite me. I like buffets as much as anyone else. You know?
Are the buffets coming back, and are they back yet in any other state? Do you have any idea?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure, like, there are plenty of states that just really don't care, and I'm sure they've been having buffets the whole time.
I went. I went to a like a taco joint. I forget what it's called, Roses or something, out in Temecula, and it was, you know, you could sit down at the booth, and then go get your own salsa and this and that, like a salsa bar. But then when I go to the Mexican restaurants here in like Burbank, they're all taped off and caution tape, and you know, nobody's allowed to go to the salsa bar. And it's just,
I think a lot of places, and the CDC didn't really do themselves any favors by going back and forth on a lot of the stuff. But I think a lot of places now are like, screw it. You guys know the risk.
Just wash your damn hands and don't touch your face. Even the fountain drinks, like out there in you know, Riverside or wherever I was at, Temecula, Marietta area, like you could go get fountain drinks, but then other places, like I went to In-N-Out Burger on Van Nuys, and you weren't allowed to get, they had to get it for you, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, it's like, I respect the places that are really trying to put the customer safety first right now, but, you know, I also, more than I used to, I'm starting to understand the thinking of the places that are like, well, which is it? Are we allowed to do stuff or not? You know,
because
it's so frustrating. They've made it so frustrating with, you know, literally in 1 week it went from you need to wear a mask to maybe you should wear a mask if you're vaccinated, maybe not. Now it's if you're vaccinated, you can French kiss, but it has to be on a lawn. Can't do it.
Yeah,
you can't do it in the mall, you have to do it outside.
Because last year, remember, the summer, they were like, no walk if you're at the beach, you can only walk on wet sand, but if you're on the dry sand, you're not allowed to stand, you cannot sit down on the dry sand, you have to. It was just like, oh man,
if two out of the three people in your menage a trois are vaccinated, you're fine. That's basically like, that's next. I swear, that's the next.
I know a guy like literally 13 months ago. Like, it was fresh in the pandemic when we had no clue, when you're seeing images of like Chinese people collapsing in the street with stretchers and them, you know, fumigating money and spraying it. You were like, oh my gosh, how crazy is this going to be? I don't know. And my buddy is just a, and I'm going to keep it clean, but I think he's like a sexaholic or something. He jumped on a plane because he met some woman online.
That's all sexaholics want people to respond, and they never do.
I know.
when they go, yeah, it turns out I'm a sexaholic. They want everyone to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
And that never happens. It's always like, ugh.
I know, right? Yeah, it's only a sexaholic when people are like, dude, you need help, man. Like, we've seen what you've been hooking up with. You're a sexaholic.
Yeah. Like any other kind of aholics, people at some point will offer them whatever that thing is that they like, hey, you want a drink? You know I'm an alcoholic. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you
know,
sorry.
But it never happens with sex for sexaholics, you know. Hey, do you want to have some sex? I do, but you know I'm a sexaholic. Oh, I didn't know. I forgot.
Yeah, they just don't take it as serious. They
right.
Well, I remember he met some woman online and he'd never met her before, only online, and he gets on a plane. He was like the only passenger on. He told me he was like two passengers on the plane. That was it. Just two people on this Southwest airline flight from LA to Florida.
And so it's already the setting of a porno.
Yeah, or just. But in my mind, it was scary because it was like, you know, like the pandemic had just hit and it was, you know. But you're right. Like now looking back, it's like, okay, someone scripted this, but this is his real life.
Yeah.
And I remember like I talked to him, maybe because it's the father in me, the dadly advice, whatever. But I go, dude, think about this, man. I go, what kind of woman? Think about this. You're meeting some strange woman. You guys have never talked before, never met in real life, real person. She's going to let you get on a plane, fly across the country and bang her during a pandemic. What kind of woman would do that? And he goes, the kind of girl I like.
Yeah, exactly. The kind of girl a sexaholic is looking for.
We're just a couple of six. Well, the last time I may get him on the podcast. I don't know, because I'm trying to keep it a little bit more clean, but I don't mind a little, you know, if we can talk these stories in a clean manner, I guess, but I don't know why I'm doing it just for myself.
Safe environment.
In a safe environment on the podcast. But he told...
Darren, I can't imagine a safer environment to talk about sex than on your podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Just there's like two listeners and they're both... it doesn't get any safer than that, guys. Pocket party.
They're both like, oh, is it getting hot in here?
Ooh, that's why it's called pocket party. It's just, hey, all right. Yeah. What's your podcast about? Oh, I have sexaholics call on and tell me their stories. But they got to do it in a clean manner. I've got that all all ages rating.
It's all very sedate. It's nothing to worry about here.
I don't know if I've told this story on here or not, but we do the road, right? We're at a Mexican border town, and the show's over with. We're back at the hotel. I'm editing my video. I call him, and he's like sleepy. He's like, I'm about to go to bed, man, but I'm just, you know, come on over for a little bit. So I come over, and, you know, I'm showing him what I'm editing, and I showed him some footage. And then as we're talking, he's texting, right? And then he's like, all of a sudden he kind of wakes up a little bit more. He's like, damn, dude. He goes, this chick wants to hook up with me. I guess he'd been like going back and forth with some woman on Bumble or Tinder or something. And he was using like Google Translate to talk to her because she spoke Spanish, but not English. And he's, you know, all this work with the Google Translate.
And that's a lot.
Yeah. So he goes downstairs.
They're pretty horny if you're using Google Translate.
Yeah. It was weird, right? He's Google Translate. He's like, you know, he was already tired. Now he's like waking up and it's like 1 a.m. And I go, all right, man, I'll walk you down. Then I'm just going to go to my room. Right. So I walk him down. I see him waving it. You know, he's laughing it up with like the Uber driver. There's a nightclub nearby. So it looked like there was some people kind of like taking Ubers or just, you know, just getting there, getting ready to go to the nightclub or whatever. I go home. I sleep. I wake up the next day. He tells me all about his night. I go, dude, how? He goes, man, that Uber driver was pretty wild, man. I go, what do you mean? And he goes, I go, you look like you guys were best friends. He goes, no, I just met him. But yeah, he had like, because the guy had like a really fancy car, not a Tesla, but it was like a, it might've been like a Porsche or something, or it was like a fancy kind of like, I didn't believe it was an Uber driver. I was like, that guy was your Uber driver? And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, So I told
him. You got in the car with that guy?
Yeah, I know. He's like, he goes, man, I love, he goes, so I told the guy, I go, yeah, man, I just met this girl. I'm a hook up. And the guy was like, oh man, you're lucky, man. I haven't been able to get laid all pandemic, like all year, man. He goes, I even offered these girls at a strip club $1,000 and they still wouldn't let me touch them like that. And then he tells my buddy, he goes like this. He goes, and by the way, if you're listening with kids, cover your ears or listen to this part.
Yeah,
later.
This is the point to cover your ears. Yeah, this not is the, yeah, 5 minutes ago.
Exactly. He goes, hey man, do you want some lube? And my friend was like, he was getting creeped out a little bit. And he goes, nah, man, I'm good, man. Hopefully I won't need it. And the guy's like, yeah. He's like, but I got a lot of extra lube, man. Go ahead, take it, man. And my buddy was like,
I got a lot of extra lube.
Exactly. And my buddy was like, he goes, you know what? They're probably not going to let me take it on the airplane anyways. So I just, you know, you go ahead and hang on to it. And then he goes, then the guy starts going, hey, man, what's this girl look like? Like he could tell, like it was getting kind of weird, right? And they're on their way to her house. And he goes, oh man, she's pretty, man. And then the guy goes like this. He goes, hey man, you ever had like a threesome? And then my buddy goes, yeah, with two women, but that's all I'm interested in. And the guy goes, oh yeah, man, me too, bro, me too. Yeah, but anyways, yeah, you know, take two
time. But it has been a while.
Exactly. It's a pandemic, man. So then he said that the guy kept trying to get, he's like, because they couldn't find her address. And he goes, uh-huh. Hey, tell her to come out, man. So and like wave at us so we can see where, and but my friend goes, he goes, I could tell he just kind of wanted to see like how hot she was or what she looked like. And he goes, and I didn't, you know what I mean? And I go, how come you couldn't find her?
Like,
yeah.
How did it become we all of a sudden?
Like, and then I go, and then here's the part that was kind of funny to me too, because like he said they had a hard time finding her address because she lived in a movable house. So the house, I guess it's like a mobile home, but it kept moving, like they'd move it around from lot to lot. And yeah, man, that was a wild story. That same guy has all these crazy stories, and he tells me he's going to write a book about it. But I go, dude, you got to get that. If you're going to do it, write it now while you're still fairly young, because nobody wants to hear these stories from an older guy that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, weird old creep.
Yeah, weird old creep who's like, yeah. And then,
honestly, like you look at the world right now, no one is all that excited about hearing them from a young guy anymore.
Exactly. You know? I know. Yeah, the last thing you want to hear is, even if you're like 24, like, so then I banged this chick in a movable house. I mean, it just sounds, sounds disgusting, you know? Like, I was using Google Translate all night.
Back and forth. Me and my Uber driver came to her house.
He should have came out with this book in the 70s or something. Like, back when people had to use their imaginations when they were reading. They're not real. Now
there was a time for this kind of thing. This is not it.
There's not even, remember like Dear Penthouse Letters. I mean, that's.
Well, you know, I honestly think, I don't know if I've told you about this, but I kind of feel like it's, society has sort of a pendulum that swings back and forth you know, they go real conservative and then real liberal, where it's like things get real, real conservative. Everyone gets real, you know. I want to go to heaven and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm going to do what the good book says and everything. And then they, after a while, a few of the people who aren't quite as committed start going, you know, I haven't been laid in a long time. trying so hard to get into heaven. I think I'm going to try that out. And then it starts to swing the other way a little bit. And then eventually it goes like full on Caligula, like orgies everywhere, everyone going nuts, doing cocaine and stuff like that.
Don't you think that's where we're at right now?
I think that's next. I think I think right now we're still at that ultra conservative-y sort of point.
Wow.
And
really,
I
don't know.
Next,
because
we're gonna.
I was just talking to Sam Tripoli the other day on the phone, and he was driving around Hollywood, right? And he goes, dude, there's a homeless guy jerking off right now in front of the store. Like, and I was like, it's funny because I was trying to picture where he was at. I go, what are you, on Highland in Hollywood or Hollywood in Highland? And he goes, what, do you want to come down and check him out or something? I was like, no, I was just wondering where you were at.
But I mean, like right now with like a mix of things like cancel culture and the pandemic and stuff like that. We've had this very long period where even kind of even against people's will, they're not doing a lot of stuff, you know?
Oh, that's true.
And now that,
even the simple things like going to a baseball game and going to a concert, right, going to a fair.
And so I think now that like people are starting to go back out again, like you can see it in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
That people are like taking crazy risks that they never would before. Like a year ago, they would have driven like a normal person. Now they're driving like a lunatic.
Wow.
That is all starting to, like I say, it's starting to swing the other way, where everyone will start going, getting real hedonistic for a little while. And then someone will find like a lump on something and they'll go, oh, we need to start going back to church.
Yeah.
And then it'll start swinging back the other way again, you know.
That's funny you say that
It always goes back and forth like that, I think.
About the driving. Yeah. By the way, guys, if you're listening to this on YouTube, give us your thoughts in the comments below. There's a comment section below. Leave your comments, and I just would love to hear your opinion. It's funny you say that about the driving, because I just have a new, and hopefully I hang on to this, but this new attitude about driving, and it's just I'm more relaxed. I'm not trying to, you know, be stressed.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, and I see people, like you said, with that. I saw some road rage yesterday, and it just, maybe because I've been out of the matrix or something, it just seemed ridiculous to me. It was at an In-N-Out Burger. It was on the one that's on Van Nuys and like Ventura or something, basically that area.
Sure. Yeah.
And they have like the arrows for you to go into the drive-through this way. Like, everyone go this way through this parking lot. Well, right. There's a line of people in In-N-Out Burger, and there's a car going the opposite way trying to, I don't know if he was trying to go in between the vehicles and then park in the parking lot, but he was going the wrong way. He might not have known that he was going the wrong way, but one of the cars that was in line was like honking the horn, like, dee, dee, like, you can't, what are you doing? You're going the wrong way. And then the guy that was going the wrong way was like, hey, just let me in. This is what I want. Cause he wanted to, I just want to go right there. And then he did not let it go. It was weird. Like the guy that went the wrong way, he finally got in, parked his car, got out of his car. He started kind of like yelling still at the guy, and like from his car, he didn't like go up to his car, but I was like, man. And then I looked, and then like a minute later, like security came out, and then he was like pointing over at the car, and I'm like, dude, this is like road rage next level. It's like, he's like way stressed out over nothing. Like
I don't put a whole lot of stock into the idea of toxic masculinity, but that is definitely a guy thing to do, to like stand your ground when you know you're wrong with like 100 people there, you know?
Yeah.
And like, well, then I'll just be a problem then.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're not doing us any favors. Any guys that are doing that sort of stuff, let it go.
Yeah.
And just, you know what? I was wrong about this. I'm going to back out and come around the other way.
Right.
And I'll get there when I get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And his wife was with him too. His wife, or she looked like his wife. And then she just went
inside. Yeah. I'm sure she was mortified, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe she was used to it. I was thinking she's probably used to this at this point. Like, if this guy's this pissed off about it, In-N-Out Burger. I mean, you already know when you see that long line at In-N-Out Burger, you already know there's going to be. That's why I usually just park and go in. I'm like, I'm not sitting out there for a half hour.
That's what you get for going to In-N-Out Burger at, you know, like 7 p.m., right when everyone else is going, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Expect a line. Don't go there when you are starving to death expect immediate service.
Oh, guys, you know? I have a hot travel tip, man. This is a hot travel tip. This is good. So, you know, when you're on the road and you're traveling and you're, you know, maybe you got to use a restroom and you got to, you know, maybe you're hungry or something.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So there's a, so I found this has worked. If you go to like, you know, which restaurant, there's plenty of parking and clean restrooms. Arby's.
Yeah.
And I think it's
true.
Because Arby's isn't, and no offense to them, but they're not that popular. Like, cause I found one, there was an In-N-Out Burger. And there was the long line, the crazy parking lot. I went to the gas station. Every pump was filled with cars. And it was just, because I just was like, right? I was like, because sometimes I'll pump gas, and then I'll leave my car there in front of pump number 7 and go use the restroom, come back out. I'm like, well, I'm only parked here for an extra 4 or 5 minutes. But when it was that busy with people like honking their horn and waiting, I was like, oh man, let me just get out of here. But then I went to this Arby's and I was like, wow, there's plenty of parking. I walked in. The restaurant was almost extra cold because they had the AC set for like a crowd, but there was no crowd.
they've been waiting for a party for 20 years.
Yeah, I know. They actually welcomed me when I walked in. They were like, hello, welcome to Arby's. And I was like, oh, it's when he's a restroom. But
yes, sir, right away, sir.
We have the meats, you know, all that stuff.
They're just so excited that anyone showed up.
I know. Well, golly.
Arby's, the problem with Arby's is they need to pick a lane. They got all crazy, and they're like, we, whatever it is, we make it. We have burritos, gyros, and sandwiches, you know, deli meats.
You like coleslaw? You know. We like coleslaw. We like, who likes hummus? You know, they're just like,
and you know, and what else is that they'll have a sandwich that is great, but there's always that one ingredient in it that is questionable.
Yeah.
And people just, it turns people off. They're like, we take roast beef, sounds good. Cheddar, right? Some of our barbecue sauce. Mm-hmm. And Danish pickles.
You're like, no, what?
I don't even know what those are. Well, they're sweet and spicy and tart.
And they're the next big thing.
Yeah. And real weird. And we deep fry them and we put them on your burger. I don't want that. Well, that's how it comes. And we also throw in cranberries.
Oh, that's weird. The cranberries. I forgot about that.
That's a weird, they always throw in some weird ass ingredient that nobody wants. You know, otherwise their food is great. But a lot of people just don't want to deal with picking stuff off, you know.
Oh, yeah. See, look, I just went to their menu on the internet. It's, here's some of that weird stuff you're talking about.
It's a bacon cheeseburger with a few slices of apple on it.
Yeah.
What?
Do you like milkshakes?
I do.
Do you think you would like an orange cream milkshake?
Nope.
That's what I'm talking about. Weird stuff.
Weird shit.
Here's another one. You like Coca-Cola, right?
I do.
But maybe you just want a Coca-Cola, not necessarily a Coca-Cola float.
Right. That is what I want. I don't want a
Coca-Cola. Yeah. Or a pecan chicken salad. Brisket bacon flatbread.
Yeah. It's the brisket and bacon kind of ruin the whole point of the flatbread, which is
to make
something healthier, you know?
Yeah. Now this looks normal. This is a chicken bacon Swiss sandwich, but you're right. It's probably on some kind of weird bread, like pumpernickel or something.
Yeah. We put it on rye.
You know, on rye. Exactly. You know, like, and also like I'm looking at the, you know, the most professional, like international, like website of their photos. I'm sure when you really look at the real stuff, you're like, no.
Oh yeah. It's like the Denny's menu where everything looks amazing. And you're like, bitch, I've been to Denny's.
Yeah.
It isn't going to look anything like
You know what's
this.
Funny, man? Like how generations don't do, like, we, you know, older generations are totally into different, like, music and even food taste than a younger generation. I wonder what we do in our generation that the younger kids and generation aren't going to participate. For example, here's what I mean. Whenever I would have dinner with my grandpa and they would ask for dressing for the salad, I would always say, like, ranch, Thousand Island, maybe Italian if I'm feeling, you know, healthy.
Yeah, real exotic.
And
yeah.
He would always ask for either Roquefort, which I don't even know what that is, or I think blue cheese. So
no young person has ever had either of those. Or you know what an old person will hit you with every now and again? Green Goddess.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a salad dressing.
Green Goddess?
Yeah.
Wow, never heard of it.
Yeah, I'll just have Green Goddess. And the waiter's like, get the fuck you will.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to get that.
See, I've never heard that Green Goddess. That's interesting.
We're going to have to time travel to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, you know, you're right. Because, you know, it's funny. I was talking to this guy at the Verizon store the other day. He's 25 years old. And he mentioned that his younger sister, she has to graduate on Zoom, and they had a party for her at the house. And I was like, wow, her high school graduation's that's so weird. Like, I remember when we graduated, so I graduated at the end of the 80s, and we had all these school buses, and they took us down to Los Angeles from Fresno, and we went to Disneyland. And I'll tell you who's performing at Disneyland the night of our grad night. We had the first group you may or may not have heard of. Have you ever heard of Wang Chung? Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Yeah. Everybody. Which I don't really like that song, but it was still cool. Like, wow, there's somebody we've heard on the radio. And the headliner was Bobby Brown. And Bobby Brown was my prerogative. People talking about every little step. All that good stuff, right?
And the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah. Who was that guy that sang, "Who are you gonna call?" Ray Parker. Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr.
I did see him perform live on television a couple years ago, and he still does the rotary dial. "Who are you gonna call?" And he like does his hand like it's a rotary. 1, 7.
He knows his audience.
"Who are you gonna call?" And then he holds his pinky and his thumb up. "Call Ghostbusters." Yeah. So anyways, so Bobby Brown performed. So I'm telling this guy, this 25-year-old Verizon employee, this, and he had no clue who Wang Chung was, which I get, but he had no clue who Bobby Brown was. I go, "Really, Bobby Brown?" And then I'm that fool that's like singing the hits. He still didn't know. I go, he was married to Whitney Houston, and he had no idea who Whitney Houston was either.
Wow.
I know. I don't know if it was just that one guy, or it just makes you think, like, how many times do we say stuff as comedians on podcasts or stand-up, like at clubs, and there's a certain percentage of the audience has no freaking clue?
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time, sure.
I was thinking Whitney Houston would be a big one, but apparently not.
You thought they were eternal, and then...
yeah.
People will love these two forever.
Yeah, that'd be like me.
Not how it works.
Yeah, like the green goddess salad dressing. That's like... Dude, that was really funny. I mean, that was good how you pulled that out. I had never even heard of that before.
Yeah, I saw it at Target. They sell it still, but it's like a lot of things they sell for old people, like oils and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, Seven Seas Green Goddess Salad Dressing, $1.98.
Yeah, that no one else has heard of, you know.
Oh, wait, that's if I use Instacart. If I go on Amazon, it's $18.71. Oh, that's for a three-pack, though.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's like they're really putting it to the old people.
No, yeah. You want this rare salad dressing from your childhood?
You expect me to eat these sardines without it?
Oh, wow, this actually looks really good. Sardines, that's another thing, right? When I was younger, my mom would eat sardines, and then so I was like, oh, sardines. But then, yeah, there's no way a kid now is going to be like, oh, peeling back that tin and then seeing like these fish heads and... or whatever.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah.
God.
I don't even eat tuna. So it's like there's no way.
Do you eat tuna?
No, I don't eat seafood at all.
Oh wow. Okay, so here's the ingredients of here's what someone wrote. How do you make Green Goddess dressing from scratch? Okay, it's 1 cup of mayonnaise, 3/4 cup of sour cream, chopped fresh flat leaf parsley, chopped fresh, is this word pronounced tarragon? Tarragon?
Sure.
Yeah.
Fresh. Yeah, it's a small dragon.
Rice, vinegar. Oh, look, 1 anchovy fillet. That's the part that, oh my God.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the gross part. I was like, I was with you. I was like, I could do mayo. I could do sour cream. I could do parsley. I could do, and then it got like, yeah.
Well, a lot of places used to use anchovies in Caesar dressing.
Wow.
They were just a thing. It was like sardines. They were one of those crazy fish that... people were, you know, it's, keep in mind when all those people were old, it was like the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. People were eating a lot of stuff that they wouldn't normally have eaten.
That's true.
You know,
do you said that you don't eat seafood, and I mean, we're talking like you don't have shrimp, you don't do
none of fish it. Sticks. I just don't care for it.
Wow.
I don't want to gross anybody out, but there's a lot about. Sometimes you can just learn too much about a type of food, and you're like, ah, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Like stuff that the fish eat and stuff like that?
Yeah, that sort of stuff. And it's like
my cousin,
people go, well, what about cows and stuff like that? They go, I know that they're just as bad, but I don't know specifics.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. Don't come rushing out to tell me. But
yeah, because if you think about that, anything will be like
that's always the next step. People, well, you know, the chickens, blah 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 blah. I don't want to hear it.
You're right. And even if you think about vegetables too long, you're going to be grossed out, right? Where you're like, oh,
yeah,
because they come from dirt and the farm workers pee on them, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But like
all this stuff,
I don't like the whole system. Basically,
the whole system. I just want to go to the store and have it served to me. Like,
yeah, just blindly. Yeah. Like people are like, oh, that's processed. Good. That's what I want.
Yeah, I know.
The more processed, the better, you know.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. I saw that, you know, because some of these like social media things are kind of snarky. And I think when whoever runs the Wendy's account said something kind of funny the other day. People are like, your burgers are, they're unnatural. They're all square. And then they wrote something like, yeah, because usually burgers are round, like when they grow on the tree or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I was like, that's pretty funny. I just had a burger. My wife made burgers today. It's really good. I don't know how she did it. She made it so delicious. And then you mix it.
Yeah, it's like, I hate to break it to you, but hot dogs don't come that way naturally either.
I know. Do you ever watch that on 4th of July, Joey Chestnut, when he has the hot dog eating contest?
Oh, no, I can't watch that sort of stuff. I get grossed out too easily is what it is. And it just everyone loves, when they hear that, they love to try and gross you out more. I don't know what that is about people, but they're like, you know, oh, well, we should send you this clip of this gross thing. It's like, no, I just said I don't like it. don't do it.
I agree, man. I agree. And by the way, the next time you're on, I do want to talk about wrestling because people really responded well to your first appearance. Not your first appearance, but your first time. You and I talked about wrestling. And
oh, yeah.
That was just like, man, I'm telling you, I've been diving deep into these clips. And I didn't realize how much.
I thought that's what we were going to talk about today, but you strong-armed the conversation and all this other stuff.
I know. And sexaholics, payphones, pins.
Yeah. Seafood. It's like that joke from What About Bob? Right. You're the one drawing all the dirty pictures.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm like, you know, this is what I wanted to talk about. And I think you did too. So it's like, I know. It's like, I'm kind of beyond the point of like, you know, like what can get a lot of clicks and views? Because then you just got to go either super.
You know what? Let's make a deal. Put a thing out, like a tweet or something saying, ask us any questions about wrestlers and we'll talk about them.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, you know, I'll do that. And like, or like who was your favorite wrestler that we didn't mention or something like that?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Any sort of stuff, like do a whole list of like,
yes.
Things about wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I'll just do a bunch of tweets like that. Yeah. Because, and I asked the audience on Twitter, I said, hey, send me some clips I can watch because I really want to, you know, some of your favorite moments. And only like two people sent clips.
Too.
The rest were like, you got to Google this or you got to go check that. And I'm like, just send me the
clips. Yeah. Because there's tons of stuff we didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't cover No Holds Barred, Hulk Hogan's movie.
Oh, see? Oh, I want to hear about that. And what about this? Have you ever heard of the Brawl for All? I never heard of that.
Is that series. The one? Wait, is that the one with where they all push Andre the Giant out of the ring?
I don't know. I don't know what that is. I think it's like it might be like how WrestleMania is like a once a year thing. I think Brawl for All was like a thing like that because I heard Butterbean talking about it. Yeah, I watched Brawl for All since I was young and whatever. And I was like, he just said,
it's probably one of those things that I watched and didn't know that's what I was watching. But Brawl for All to me sounds like the Christmas special for wrestling. Like they all start out brawling and then they have a gift exchange.
By the way, my wife told me her and her brother, they have these wrestling albums. We're going to try to find it. Did you ever know that there was a wrestling album with all these?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They would, it was kind of like the Super Bowl shuffle.
You know, I remember that 1985 Chicago Bears.
You remember where it was just they make a bunch of athletes sing a song and it's terrible.
Yeah, Refrigerator but, Perry and all those guys. I didn't come to hurt nobody. I just came to. Yeah.
We don't want to cause no trouble. Oh, we're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, it's just awful. But I remember. William the Refrigerator Perry, in my mind, as a non-sports person, he was famous for two things, for introducing me and the rest of the world to the McDLT, which was hot on one side and cold on the other.
Oh, I remember that.
And for being the first athlete of any kind to be made into a G.I. Joe.
Oh, wow.
And his weapon as a G.I. Joe was, it was like a staff that had a football tied to the end of it that had spikes on it. And he would just beat people up with his football staff in the commercial that I saw. And you couldn't just go into a store and get William Refrigerator Perry. You had to buy 3 G.I. Joes, cut a little thing off their package, mail it away, and 6 to 8 weeks later, they would send you him, you know. So you had to really commit to get him, you know. Then they did it with Sergeant Slaughter, same sort of deal.
So I'm looking up the Super Bowl Shuffle, and I read that. Oh my God, that song was 6 minutes 58 seconds. It was released December 3rd, 1985. Here's what I want to... Oh, there was a celebrity cover version. What? I don't even know any of these celebrities.
That has... that makes sense for that.
Yeah, it's just like... But here's what I want to know. Now, I don't know if, where the answer would be. After they did that rap... Oh, I guess I could just Google it. But do you know, did they win the Super Bowl or lose? Because they... It's probably better if they won.
I don't think they won.
So I should look up who won the Super Bowl. So if this song came out in December 85, the Super Bowl would have been in 86.
I guess, right?
Yeah. I don't know, but it would seem like if they won, they would have done more stuff with Fridge the next year.
Who won Super Bowl 1986?
Ooh, the Chicago Bears won.
Oh, they won. Oh, yeah. Well, good for them. Yeah. Well, then maybe that was just the end of it. They were just like, hey, where can we take this from here?
You know? Wow. It says the NFC champion Chicago Bears, seeking their first NFL title since 1963, scored a Super Bowl record of 46 points in downing AFC champion New England 46-10 in Super Bowl 20.
That's a big, big margin.
Wow, that's why people think Super Bowls are boring sometimes. Can you imagine 46-10? It's like, I mean, if you're a Bears fan, it was probably awesome, but if you're like a...
Well, I remember, I think it's touted to a lot of people as the best Super Bowl was the one where the 49ers versus the Broncos that happened, I want to say like 87, somewhere around there. Mm. And Joe Montana... pretty much single-handedly destroyed the Broncos for most of the game.
Oh, that was the 1990 Super Bowl.
Was it 1990?
Wow. Yeah, it says San Francisco 49ers versus the Denver Broncos. Shout out to Rims. I have a fan from, I don't know if he's going to listen to this episode, but if he is, he's a huge Broncos fan, and he probably will hate this little tidbit of trivia.
What was the final score on that?
55-10.
I'm sorry, Rims. That's just how it went.
Sorry, Rims. You know,
what's his name? The 49ers quarterback.
Joe Montana?
Joe Montana. He played so well that they tapped him out towards the end. And they were like, go just put your arm in a velvet case and we'll let the backup quarterback play just for funsies.
Oh, yeah. It says he completed 22 of 29 passes for a total of 297 yards and a Super Bowl record 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about sports and I was riveted by that game. I was like, this guy is amazing.
Wow.
And at that time, I lived in Aurora, Colorado.
Oh, wow. Like,
everybody was like pissed that this was happening.
You know what, man?
And I was like, this is still one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I don't care.
Are you a football fan now?
No.
I'm not either. And I tried to be one. Like when the Rams came, I was like, I'm going to get into it. It's a fresh start. I know they were here before, but for all intents and purposes, fresh team, fresh start. LA has a team. I'm going to go for it. And I got into like the clothes. I'm like, all right, I'll get like a Rams shirt and like the Rams socks, and I'm gonna watch every game and really just know my. And I gotta be honest,
really get into it. Yeah,
I watched the preseason. I guess like I was, you know, like it didn't even count. But then when the real season started, I was like, at that point, I'd watched like 3 or 4 games or whatever, and I was starting to get a little bit bored, to be honest with you. So I would like, because I realized, for me personally, I'm an active person. I like to go to, you know, go outside and run or jog or walk or just, I can't sit still.
You're like me in a lot of ways where I would rather play football than watch it.
Exactly. And I don't,
I'm the same way with stand up people. Did you see so-and-so special? No. Did you go to this show? No.
No.
I would rather do stand up than watch it. I just.
Yeah, exactly. So I
don't work that way.
I was recording these games and I would like, and I would be like, okay, I'm going to turn this 3-hour game into like, I'm just going to fast forward to the commercials. And then it turned into me fast-forwarding past the, quote, boring parts.
Right.
And then I'm just, like, pretty much just fast forwarding towards the end. And I'm like, what am I even? Yeah. And then my wife was like, come on, you're filling up the DVR. And, you know, and I'm like, I know. I'm like, and then I just started like getting these alerts so I could see the score on my phone. And that's pretty much where I'm at now with it. Like, I don't even, you know, like it'll
just
say,
tell me the score.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know. And then I think players get traded around. So you can't really be a fan of I mean, you know what I mean? It's just harder to be.
Yeah, it's not like, if it really was like that, where it's people representing your town were the only people that were on your team, I would be a lot more interested.
Yeah, but if it's like, you know, some guy plays for the Rams for 1 year, then he goes to Boston or whatever, and you're just like...
Like, Colorado has massive, massive sports fans in general. They're just real, real into it. But, like, we got a hockey team, the Colorado Avalanche, and they won their first big game, and people rioted in the streets in celebration. They went nuts. They were like, they had painted logos of the team on the streets, and people didn't just go, oh, that's nice, I should take a picture of that. They chipped them out of the ground and took them home.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so they're real massive fans. And in my head, I was thinking, we didn't really win anything. That entire team was shipped from Canada.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like a guy you know from the mill just, you know, scored a goal. It's a guy who's been living in the ice in Canada his whole life.
You know? I guess that's why, like, when I joined
They're not even from our country, let alone.
I got to be honest. You know, I think that's what kind of intrigues me a little bit more about boxing, because I, you know, got to meet these real boxers when I go to the boxing gym, and they're real pros, and I'm working out alongside of them. I'm in the same, and it's kind of neat to be like, wow, like, I actually know Adam Lopez. I know Adam Blue Nose Lopez. I know what elementary school he went to, what high school he went to. I'm like, he lives in Burbank. He just, you know, he grew up here, I should say. And so it's like, wow, when I see this guy, I'm like, you know what I mean? It's more like the person.
And it's easier to invest in a single person anyway.
Yeah.
That's just, they're putting themselves on the line. They don't have a team. They don't have, you know, a crazy big corporation behind them or anything like that. They've got, at the end of the day, it's just them in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot easier for me to get invested in something like that, you know, than when I see a team where it's like, clearly this team has a lot more money at their disposal than this team.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's what a tough game this is going to be for them, you know.
I know.
You know, I just don't care as much. It just takes me out of it, you know. But also, I think for me, a big part of it was that game. Honestly, Joe Montana, I was like, I've pretty much seen a damn near perfect football game.
Yeah.
I don't think the next one I see is going to be better, for certain. Right.
It's like the first time I saw someone, like, play guitar on stage and then at the end take the guitar and smash it. I just thought that was a common thing to do. And then when it didn't happen, I started getting disappointed. And I realized, like, oh, no, it was more rare to do. So what you saw was something super rare.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, you know.
Well, yeah, it was like it ended wrestling for me when I saw it was supposed to, like, usher in a new era. But when I saw Hulk Hogan lift Andre the Giant off the ground and do a body slam on him, I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to see anything that cool again. There just isn't, you know? So it's like, why bother watching anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about, we'll do some wrestling stuff. And I got to tell you, then there's some fascinating, fun stuff I saw, like, just in my little bit of research, you know, because I looked up boxers who turned to wrestling, but I meant, like, maybe they, you know, made a name for themselves in boxing and then were like, okay, you know, I'm too old to fight, but maybe I can just wrestle now and then be known for that. But there was a lot of celebrity stuff, like Mike Tyson did it, and, you know, a lot of people were involved in wrestling, like former boxers. But there was this, I'll just tell you one quick one. Do you know about, so I guess it was in the Brawl for All, and there was a guy named Bart Gunn. Ever heard of a wrestler named Bart Gunn?
Nope.
So Bart Gunn was supposed to wrestle this guy, I forget who it was. Oh, Steve Williams, I think. Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Steve Williams was supposed to win. They scripted it where he's supposed to win. And then he's going to wrestle Cold Stone, Steve Cold Stone Austin. Is that his name? Austin? Yes.
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. Yeah.
Cold Stone is an ice cream company.
Oh, damn. Even my writing is dyslexic. I wrote Cold Stone. Like, he's supposed to...
Steve Cold Stone will sing a little song if you tip him.
Yeah. He's going to fight a totally tag team called Baskin and Robbins. Now, these tag teamers are... But the Ben and Jerry... No. Yes, yeah, so still... Stone Cold. I can't, now I can't even...
Wait, why am I getting rum raisin? Because Cold Stone said so.
Because Cold Stone said so. Yeah, so, but I guess...
And that's the bottom line.
So I guess people's egos got involved. They're wrestling, and like you said, it can sometimes go sideways. And apparently Bart Gunn... Oh, because they were supposed to, like, I think box or something. They're like boxing. But he didn't want to... Mm-hmm. So whatever. However it happened, the wrong guy won. Bart Gunn won. And they said... Vince McMahon, I almost said Ed McMahon, but Vince McMahon wasn't too happy. So they were like, oh, you want to do
neither
this?
Ed McMahon or Cold Stone were happy about right. this.
So then they set up another fight. And this time it was Butterbean. You knew who Butterbean is, right?
Yeah.
The big guy, bald, crazy looking white guy, kind of looks like King Kong Bundy, kind of.
Yeah.
He knocked this guy out first round. And if you see the footage, it's real. I mean, it's like you're seeing a guy's face shake around and like and fall down. And yeah, it's like, wow. And I just thought that was fascinating. It was like the guy.
Yeah, Butterbean is no joke. You know, don't mess with that dude.
They even showed, according to these videos I saw, like, you know, Mayweather did like an exhibition. Do you know about this?
No.
Mayweather, yeah, Floyd Mayweather did an exhibition, and you know, it's funny because he's even though he's like undefeated, he's little. He's like he weighs, I think, 145, 150.
Yeah,
and he got in there with who did he get in there with? It was a really big guy. Let me see if it's in my notes. Not in these notes, but he got in there with some really big guy. Maybe it was that guy, the Mountain, or something, or the Big Show. You ever heard of the Big Show? Mayweather versus the Big Show, and so I think the Big Show at some point drops down to his knees. I don't know if it was to mock him or what, but and then Floyd Mayweather, like he broke his nose.
Yeah.
So maybe are they kind of like punch him, but then like pull it back, but it has to look kind of real, and then maybe that's how they broke. I don't know how it happened, but the guy really did.
It doesn't take much to break someone's nose. It's, yeah.
And maybe your nose. Like, maybe once you get in front of the 20,000 people or whatever it is, maybe they're like, sell it, let's sell this. You know, I can take a punch, let's sell it. And then.
Yeah. But yeah, it's it takes very, very little pressure to at least to get someone's nose to bleeding, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do it from sneezing too hard, you know.
Oh, yeah. But well, Mike, listen, it was great having you on here. Thank you for everything. And I know we
usually having me.
We end with words of wisdom. I don't know if you have any this one or not, but my words of wisdom is to find an Arby's bathroom because, like I said, they're clean. There's plenty of parking. And just tell them to hold the anchovies or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I guess my words of wisdom would be that crazy glue is not, in my opinion, as good as Gorilla Glue.
You know what? It's funny you say that. I recently bought some Gorilla Glue, and I got to be honest, I think it's a little bit, I like it.
It's just stronger.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. Even though it fixed the part that I was trying to fix, I ended up breaking another. I bought some sunglasses at Kohl's. And they were just so great. I love these sunglasses. I've only had them for about a month, but they're very lightweight. Like, they're not too heavy. They never hurt my ears. They're just so comfortable. But then one day the lens popped out, and I'm like, dang it. So then I got the Gorilla Glue, but then the whole temple, like, broke. So it was just time to let go. But I ended up going to Kohl's. I know. But the Gorilla Glue saved. I went to Kohl's and got another pair. And normally they were $30, but I got them for like $7 or $9 or something.
Yeah, because they're cheap pieces of shit.
Yeah,
they've broken on everybody.
Yeah, you're like, you weren't alone, Darren. It's you want the package, the two sunglasses and Gorilla Glue? Okay. Yeah. All right, man. Gorilla Glue, you got it. Right. This is. Want to thank our sponsors, Gorilla Glue and Kohl's. Also, 7-Eleven phone cards.
And, also, Dale's sunglasses that we promise will break.
Yes,
the third time you buy them.
Green Goddess salad dressing.
Salad dressing, yeah.
Did we mention any other products?
I think that was everything. Blue cheese dressing, maybe. Sardines. This is also brought to you by sardines.
Yeah, but then again, we've just pissed off our sponsor because my co-host here doesn't eat seafood. He gets grossed out right. by it.
This is also brought to you by the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, the Refrigerator Perry, the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Google and Wikipedia.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, man. Hey, have a good one. And guess what? We should probably set something up with Rick Ramos. It'll be the three of us. Rick Ramos, Mike Black, Darren Carter. The fans want it. I've gotten messages, and I just got to figure out how to do it. It'll probably be like a Zoom call or something on camera. And that'll be great. If anything, I'll just let you guys talk, and I'll just sit back, and because I love the knowledge you guys have. Hopefully, it'll be something I could participate in.
Yeah, anytime. That sounds like a blast.
Won't be too inside. Like you're not. Today we're going to cover Italian westerns that were only made.
Yeah.
I'll be like, can we bring it up to date? I mean,
we want people to listen. We want people to.
Yeah, I know.
Stay through the whole thing.
Yeah. Have you listened to his podcast lately? Or have you listened?
Yeah.
Because he's got this other partner on there, Ibrahim something, Ibrahim Chavez, I believe. And that guy's pretty well-versed also. Like, he also knows this stuff.
Yeah, really knowledgeable.
I'm like, damn, these are two knowledgeable dudes. And it's because before it was interesting when I'd hear it with, like, you know, he had, like, you know, Lee Syatt. And that dynamic was like Lee would be more like my role. I would be like, you know, what's that movie like? And then he would like explain it. But I'm like, man, when these two guys are like, sometimes Rick will just sit back and let that guy pontificate.
Yeah,
about.
Just let him roll. Yeah.
I'm like, wow, like that must be nice. Like to have another guy that's equally as knowledgeable on something. But anyways.
Yeah, that guy is really well versed. And he comes to play, you know, like when it's.
Yeah,
whatever
he does,
and he does his research.
I was telling Rick, he also like he speaks in a very like relatable way. I feel like it's not like a guy who's trying to talk out of his you know.
Yeah, he's not like pretentious or anything like that. No. He's just very solid in his knowledge, you know.
Yeah, he was dropping these F-bombs, but it totally fit. I didn't even notice it. And then I was like, wow, he's just, you know, I was like, yeah. But it was good, though. It was, like, good. He was like, yeah, you know what, man? They were talking about MTV, the early MTV days. He goes, Martha Quinn, I just wasn't fucking feeling it, man. Like, you know, she just wasn't hot to me, you know? Like, what the fuck? What can I say?
I agree.
I was like, yeah, he talks like he doesn't even know there's a mic on. I'm like, this is so good. Like, they have a good thing going on over there.
Yeah, I agree. Martha Quinn sucked. Once Duffy came on the air.
Oh, yeah,
her?
Karen Duffy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, all these other girls are stupid.
Yeah, Karen
Why
Duffy.
Why even bother?
Yeah. That's funny.
I like Kennedy, too. She was cute.
And what about now? Do you watch MTV now or no? You don't watch it?
No, they don't do music anymore.
Yeah,
it's all,
I know, right?
Everything else, you know. Yeah. I don't like that they put. They used to be like about music and about rock and roll and stuff like that. And then they kind of sold out the first generation that supported them by doing all this other stuff. And now we sound like old bastards because we're like, in my day, they played music.
That's
you know?
Where I first saw Thriller.
Yeah. So I don't like
Wang Chung played at my grad night with Bobby Brown, you know, Whitney Houston. Hello.
Did you happen to see that video? I repost it every now and again because it makes me happy. But where David Bowie calls them out on not playing any black artists.
I love
for like
that.
The first few years, they really just didn't. And like the guy that's interviewing him is like trying to backpedal as best he can. And he goes, well, you know, families in the Midwest would be kind of scared of Prince and stuff like that. Oh, and David Bowie's just like, interesting. And he's like, you can tell David Bowie's thinking about like Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. And he's like, how does me doing that work and Prince doing Purple Rain not work? You
Purple
know?
Rain. Yeah, man. Gosh,
but yeah,
I know.
It's worth checking out.
I was a huge Prince fan too, man. I remember, gosh, all those songs came, they, you know, they were released during like my coming of age, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, like 16, all those, that age is when like Purple Rain came out, you know, for me, like when I was in high school and it was just like, amazing. Like, you know, I have clear memories of different songs, you know what I mean? Like the first
well,
song.
Well, I had, yeah. I remember that song and the movie, of course.
Yeah.
But I went to see it at the New Beverly about 2 years ago. They did a showing of it. And first of all, it's a great movie still as far as like a really well set up concert film, essentially, with like a little story to go with it, you know. But what I forgot, and it was one of those things where I was like, is this really happening? This can't be happening. But then at the same time, I was like, I can totally see Prince doing something like this, but I don't remember this. And I guess I had just blocked it out. You know, the end of the movie is basically just like three songs of his back to back.
Yeah.
You know, and it's him on stage and the crowd's clapping and going crazy. He does Purple Rain, but then he does...
like Baby I'm a Star or something?
Yeah, that's the one. Baby I'm a Star.
Hey, and, I'm going to sing it real quick, you guys. Hey, look me over. Tell me, do you like what you see? Yeah. Hey, I ain't got no money, but I'm rich on personality. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's the one. Anyway, so he's singing that, and it has like a guitar riff in it, and they bring him his fancy pearl white Prince guitar. And I was like, God, that guitar, I guess it makes sense. That guitar is very phallic. That Prince has put on there.
Yeah.
And then I shit you not, it starts hosing down the audience.
Wow.
He literally blows a load over the entire audience as the finale of the movie. And I was like, no, this is not. And I think back then they didn't really understand that that's what was happening.
Yeah.
Because everybody, boy and girl, old, young, they were all into it. They were like, his guitar squirts liquid all over.
That's amazing. It's a this super soaker.
Yeah. And everyone is having the time of their lives.
Wow.
As Prince just unloads on everybody. And then they roll credits. I was like, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But, and I can't believe I had blocked it out completely.
And you know what's funny is phallic as that is or whatever, it's still, you still had to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like compared to now, now they would just, you know, have a blow up. Who knows what they would do now? They would just come out and hit you over the head with it. You know what I mean? Like there's no wondering.
Right. Well, and it wasn't like a super soaker.
Yeah.
It was like a fire hose. Like that thing covers the room. Like people were like, oh, wow. Look at all this Prince juice we're getting.
Oh man, that's funny. I wonder if it was. I looked it up right now. It says Prince's iconic Angel Cloud guitar. I wonder if that was it. Probably not.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh really? It's called Angel Cloud guitar.
It's white, right, and kind of like smooth, but with a lot of ridges.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's ripped.
Yeah,
for
that's
her.
It.
Yeah. Ripped for her pleasure, but.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Anyways, words of wisdom, get a squirting guitar and be a star. Yeah. But yeah, remember that song, Dearly Beloved, we are gathered here to give to this thing called life. Electric word. Remember that one? The elevator.
I do.
The elevator breaks down. Go crazy. Yeah, I remember being on
the... You know, he said the elevator was a metaphor for the devil because he couldn't... the record company said you can't use devil in the song.
Oh, so like, wow. Oh.
If the devil tries to bring you down, go crazy.
Wow. Dude, words of wisdom. That was good. Interesting.
I'm pretty sure that's the same record company that released Charlie Daniels' The Devil Goes Down to Georgia. You know?
You haven't heard the Christian version, The Elevator Goes Down to Georgia?
Yeah, right.
But I remember being like on the cross country team and we did like this out of town like competition. And I just remember all these hot girls from a competing like school or whatever. And they were just like doing their warm ups and stretches, and that song came on, and they were just going all nuts, and it was just like, it was just so cool seeing like pretty girls and that song, and just
pretty girls really got Prince, or Prince really got them, I guess.
Yeah,
because I don't know of any like model that I've met or really beautiful woman that hasn't at some point mentioned a Prince song.
Yeah, there's always
That is an accomplishment to get women on that level.
You know what's Prince song I love is, well, besides the ones that he, you know, his own songs, but I love that performance of Coachella where he did Creep with the guitar. He did a have you heard that one? The cover?
Oh yeah.
Radiohead. Mm-hmm. Oh, just so good.
Yeah, so and good. There are songs that people don't even know that he was involved in, like that Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song that he wrote, you know.
And I think I actually did, I may have purchased it, or I've heard it on Spotify or somewhere. I heard him singing it and it was really good.
It's oh, like, that would be
cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool to hear him do it. Nothing Compares. Yeah, it's cool. And there was a YouTube performance I used to watch all the time, even when he was alive, and it was from the Capitol Theater. It was black and white. Capitol Theater, and it was a lot of songs from the late 70s and early 80s that he had, and it was just so upbeat and such an energetic crowd, and God, it was...
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, you should look... The audience, you guys should look that up sometime if you're a Prince fan. Look up Prince Performs at Capitol Theater, and I would just hit play and just have...
Another thing to see if you haven't seen it is what was that show that Zooey Deschanel was on? It was on Fox.
I'm not sure.
I cannot remember the name of it, but just look up Zooey Deschanel, and she had a TV show. But it takes place in Pittsburgh, and at one point she meets Prince, and they do a whole episode at his estate. And this was about a year before he died.
Oh, wait, it was called New Girl.
Yes. Yes, yeah. That's the show. Yeah. And they did a whole thing where, like, a lot of the things that he's rumored to be into, like pancakes and competitive games and stuff like that. And he was really fun. He was, like, funny and interesting to watch on the show. So it's worth seeing just for that episode.
Wow. Yeah, here's a couple. Let me see here. Merriweather, who got connected to Prince by meeting his manager at a party, talked about how they lost an opportunity to have Prince on the show in a previous season. But he came back around for season 3 when Fox asked the team to put together a Super Bowl episode. For a time, they feared he was going to be back on the... He was going to back out of the whole thing. Instead, Prince asked for changes to the script. And then this is a quote. I knew exactly what had happened. The network had asked us to end the episode at the loft, the home base of the show, instead of at Prince's house. And I had to change the story to have Nick and Jess say, "I love you," back in the bathroom, away from Prince and his influence. It was a dumb call, but Merriweather realized talking to Prince, it was obvious. He had to be the catalyst of Jess's emotional breakthrough. That was the reason for the episode. Eventually, Prince made it into the filming, but his influence wasn't limited to the moments between action and cut. Right before we were about to shoot him performing his new song in the episode, he asked my producer for a megaphone. Right before the first note, he pulled out the megaphone and called out, "Does anyone want to fall in love tonight?" Everyone cheered. We hadn't asked them to. It was just a feeling. You just had to shout it. Prince even came up with something funnier than what the team had written. As scripted, Zooey was intended to be in a dark closet with Prince surprising her by turning on a flashlight under his chin. And that's my bit. Prince was standing on the balcony beckoning to me, she said. I walked up the stairs and followed him into the bathroom. He turned out the lights, then he flicked a lighter on underneath his chin. He said to her, "Isn't this funnier?"
What a guy.
Fox will rebroadcast the episode in honor of the legendary singer. Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on like Netflix and stuff like that, but it's worth seeing. He's really funny in it.
That is funny. That is funny. You know, for me personally, I'm a flashlight guy. That's what I do in my act. But for Prince to have a flame, that would be funnier. It would be, because it's kind of like, you can picture the flame dancing around, and he's Prince. You know?
Yeah, it's just a little more interesting for him to have that. Yeah.
Maybe I should steal that and start doing that down at the clubs. Maybe have a lighter and all this flashlight crap. No.
Did you hear Darren Carter burn down the Bray Inn?
Exactly. I know. Yeah, he was doing a podcast with Mike, and he got inspired by Prince from from Zooey Deschanel's girl or whatever. Mike,
we're blaming Mike Black for the whole thing.
Yeah. We're making, yeah. Mike, thank you for taking part of your day to do the Pocket Party podcast. And it's,
anytime.
It's been a real treat, guys. If you like this podcast, do me a favor, leave a comment on YouTube, share it, give it a thumbs up. Help that algorithm, man. Let's get this thing cooking, man. Let's get 1,000 views on this. All right, guys, I love you. And Mike, you're the best. Thank you. And let's do an episode soon. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Bye bye.
We're done with this interview.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.